Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Intercom Radio Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. There are a couple of things that I've been wondering about over the last year or so. One is, what's happening with Special Olympics Oregon? And is the polar plunge going to happen this year? Let's talk about it. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Mark Hankin. Mark is the Chief Operating Officer for Special Olympics Oregon. Hey there, Mark. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, Special Olympics Oregon, you've been there for how long?
I've been there since 2003, so I am going on my 18th year with
Wow.
Special Olympics Oregon.
That's a good long time.
Yeah, it's been a good run.
Tell me about some of the history of Special Olympics Oregon.
So Special Olympics Oregon was founded in 1972, so we've grown over the years. We're a statewide organization that serves individuals with intellectual disabilities, children and adults aged 8 through the rest of their life. A Special Olympics athlete can be in our program. And we have some athletes who started back in the 70s and have been with us ever since. So we will turn as an organization 50 next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah. As far as the organization goes, we've evolved over the years to serve more and more athletes throughout the states. We're in schools throughout the state of Oregon, where we now offer Unified Champion Schools, which serves individuals with and without intellectual disabilities in unified programs. And our Unified Champion Schools is recognized nationally. We have 150 schools that we're working with throughout the state of Oregon to work on really a three-tiered program where athletes and unified partners can compete on the field of play together as teammates in unified sports, but we also have unified leadership experiences as well as school-wide engagement education programs where really we're trying to promote inclusion. And inclusion is a movement where it's really about accepting individuals for who they are and recognizing what everybody has to offer within a school community. And our programs have really helped shape opportunities for our athletes, the individuals with intellectual disabilities within special ed programs, to have more opportunities, not just within our special ed sports programs, but also in different school activities. It's really changed the attitudes of individuals, reduced bullying, and some of the other negative outcomes when you isolate certain individuals within a school environment. So we're really proud of that work. We are also involved in 30 community-based programs, which we call our local programs, and these serve children and adults, but really it's where our adult athletes can participate and thrive. And these local programs are supported by volunteers. So we have volunteer leadership as well as volunteer coaches. We have a small staff that supports our overall program delivery around the states. And we're really proud of the work that these volunteers do to serve our athletes. We offer three different sports seasons. We have a winter, summer, and fall. And within a year, we offer 14 different sports. So we have various team and individual sports for athletes to train and compete. And they have opportunities to compete at different levels locally. We do regional competitions within the state. And then we have in some events, some state-level competitions. And so those experiences for our athletes over the last, nearly five decades have been what we've been able to offer.
Mark, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'll address what I would say is more of our recent history. I know that we captured some headlines in 2018 when the organization was going through some financial challenges. And we've definitely had ebbs and flows in the time that I've been there since 2003. We were hit in 2008 when the recession was really difficult for many nonprofits, and we adjusted some of our programming at that time. We had to scale back for a couple of years some of our events, and then we're able to return those. And then in 2018, we faced some significant financial challenges where our program delivery expenses were, more than what we were fundraising. And so we had to make some serious adjustments within our organization to address those. And over the last couple of years, we've come out of financial challenges to a place where we're stable, and we were on a good trajectory in 2019 fall. And then in 2020 winter seasons, we were able to return to regional level competitions where we were having 2,000 participants that were training and competing in respective sports in those seasons. And then COVID came along, and we've had to make the next pivot as an organization. With that, we went to some virtual programming, which we can talk a little bit more about as we get into our conversation. But this past year, we were able to fundraise at a level and spend at a level that has kept the organization on a good, healthy trajectory, living within our means and serving our athletes around the state.
You guys have been busy.
We have been very busy.
It's been a busy couple of years.
It's been hard work, and it was on the backs of some really generous donors who believed in us and other supporters, and phenomenal work by volunteers around the state who believe in our athletes and our mission.
We are talking today with Mark Hankin. He's the Chief Operating Officer for Special Olympics Oregon. Well, Mark, let's talk about it. How has the pandemic affected things that you guys do at Special Olympics Oregon?
Well, like everybody else, we've had to adjust to the challenge of not being able to gather in person. We are in the people gathering business, and so how do you work with and serve individuals when you can't be in person? And so early on in the pandemic, we recognized that we have to find new ways to serve our athletes, deliver sport, health, wellness, fitness. And so we created something called SOAR Active. S-O-O-R is the acronym for Special Olympics Oregon. So SOAR Active. And we went on a Facebook platform and started offering health, wellness, fitness, social opportunities for our athletes, their families, and our volunteers to engage in different ways to stay connected, keep moving, do sport in different ways. And we have more than 1,100 members now as part of that community. And we offer daily activities that range from Zumba classes to bingo to different health and wellness education. We've partnered with University of Portland's athletics leadership group, and they do social hours where we have collegiate student athletes interacting with our athletes, just talking about what it's like to try to, do the sports you love in the environment that's different right now. So we found, some lemonade out of the COVID lemons through that. Other ways that we're tackling the challenge of not being able to do in person. And the reason we aren't doing in person with our athletes right now, I know there's some sport organizations that have come back with various levels of social distancing practices and the ability to do sport or skills. For us, we've made the decision to keep our athletes at home or within their household. And it's because individuals with intellectual disabilities, data studies have shown, one study out of New York showed that there was a 4-time greater increase for an individual with intellectual disabilities to have a serious negative outcome if they contract coronavirus, COVID-19. And so for us, that's a risk we're not comfortable taking during a time in which, rates of infection within the state have continue to increase over the past year. So we'll continue to look and use science to guide us and be cautious. We take that with feedback from our local program leaders that I talked about earlier, the volunteers and families, and it's tough. Our athletes in general face greater isolation than their non-disabled peers. And so not being able to get together and circle the calendar weekly to go to practice or to get on a bus and go to a track meet or play in a basketball game, we know that they miss it. As someone who's been involved with Special Olympics for as long as I have, I miss it so much. So I know the importance and power of sport.
I don't think any of us will ever take social interaction for granted ever again.
Absolutely not. And so what we've done with our sport is we've created virtual competitions. So we just had a successful fall virtual games, and we're now just about to launch in late January through early April. We will have our winter virtual season where we'll offer different sport experiences where our athletes can sign up for sports. They'll be matched up with a virtual coach, and then they'll work through those skills and events in at home or neighborhood or local park settings. And again, with the guidelines being that you can only do so with other individuals within your household. So for example, if one of the sports we're offering is track and field, if you want to sign up for the 100-meter dash, you could do so, and there's different ways you could pull it off. You can measure 100 meters at a local park. You could do it at a football field at a school if you have access and permission to use. You can run it on a track. You can also measure off what might only be 20 meters in your backyard, and you have to do 5 down and backs total to get in your 100. But as long as you start the watch and you finish it and you complete that, you can turn in a score and be recognized at the end of the year for the end of the season with a commemorative medal. And we'll do, you know, opening ceremonies and some virtual awards ceremonies and some other experiences. We were able to do that in the fall and had several hundred participants that were able to train, set goals, compete, and be recognized for their experiences.
Wow. Way to pivot, man. That is so great.
The pivot is the word
Yeah, right, for sure. Now.
Yeah, and basketball is one of the sports, so I guess right now we're in the pivot. So.
We are talking today with Mark Henkin, COO of Special Olympics Oregon. Now, Mark, I want to ask you, why? What is it about sport and the activity of sport that is such a positive experience for your athletes?
Well, I'm biased. I grew up son of a coach, PE teacher, athletic director. So for me, sport's always been a key part of life. I think it is transformative in that it connects individuals of, you know, all different ages, socioeconomic backgrounds, interests. You can find common ground on the field of play. And I spoke earlier about our inclusive sport programs, and it really is a common language that people can share within our program. You know, for us, it's the promotion of not only the physical fitness, but working together, setting goals, forming friendships. For many of our athletes, Special Olympics coach is a significant part of their life as far as someone that can be a strong role model, a connection. And for some of our adult athletes, other than being at home, this is their second place. They may not go to work or have other places that they go. And so Special Olympics becomes a big part of the family experience. So sport is something that we recognize needs to be able to have a range of abilities. So we offer events that have that range of ability. We also offer sport choice where there's individual sports like golf or bocce or bowling, all the way up to, you know, higher impact sports like soccer and basketball and volleyball, where you have this range of abilities and interests that can attract different individuals that all ultimately comes down to having the ability to get on a field of play, have the opportunity to learn skills, be guided by trained volunteer coaches, opportunities that then compete and showcase those skills, and then be recognized. All our athletes won't earn the gold medal, but they will be recognized for their achievements with whatever place they get. And knowing that we apply standard sport rules, like we're recognized. The reason we get to use the word Olympics as an organization is because the IOC has said, these are standards that you need to meet as an organization. So we work with sport governing bodies to establish all our rules and guidelines. We work with officials. We do real sport. And so with that, our athletes are held accountable accordingly. And so even in our virtual sport, there's more on your honor going on. Like, clearly we can't have officials in your backyard measuring you as you throw your tennis ball throw we're doing instead of a shot put, or running an event, or in basketball, it's how many times you can dribble in 60 seconds and count it. But we still want to ask our athletes to train and compete to rules, whether it's virtual or in person, we're going to hold you accountable. And then it means something.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, tell me about the sense of pride and achievement the athletes get by participation.
Well, you know, over the years, I've watched, you know, the celebration of our athletes at our awards ceremonies or on the field of play. And I don't think it's any different than you'll see in high school athletics or collegiate or other level of sports. When you work hard and you set a goal and you compete, it's satisfying when you achieve that. And so our athletes are just that. We call them athletes because that's what they're doing. They're doing sport with purpose.
One of the things that Portlanders are very familiar with this time of year is the polar plunge. And I'm kind of assuming that that may be a little bit different this year. Let's talk about the polar plunge. It's one of your biggest fundraisers, right?
It is. So it's our signature fundraiser, and we've been doing it for more than a decade. And I have jumped in the river many times over the years.
And so you survived.
A willing participant. Yes, I have survived. And so for us, you know, this is beloved, and it's recognized as, you know, a way to bring in the community. Some of the folks are really connected to our organization, and some people have polar plunged because it's just something crazy to do. And so with that, I think this year it's a challenge for those individuals that are not as connected to our organization, maybe not as aware of some of the pivots that we've made virtually. So it's going to be different in that we aren't going to offer in-person plunges. You know, in a normal year, Polar Plunge would take place in 5 locations throughout the states. We do one in Portland at Broughton Beach near the airport on the Columbia River. There's one in Eugene, Corvallis, Bend, which is our longest standing plunge. That's where it all started. And then one in Southern Oregon in Medford. But this year, you know, with the safety of the athlete and plunge participants as a priority, we won't be gathering in person for plunges. So the challenge now is a plunge at home, but we're going to offer different events to make that happen.
Tell me about some of those events. This sounds super interesting. And again, great way to pivot.
Yep. So we're calling it Freeze in February. So annually in February would be when we have these 5 events throughout the state, and they'd be on various weekends building through the month. So Freezing February events will kick off, and you can learn more about Freezing February and Polar Plunge through both our Specialist Oregon State Facebook page as well as the Plunge Oregon Facebook pages. But we'll kick things off with a live stream event on February 1st. At 10 a.m. And so that'll just get the energy up and get people excited and, you know, promote. And leading up to that, we have people that are already doing, you know, at-home crazy plunges to raise money on behalf of our organization. And we appreciate all of them for their creativity and commitment, for sure. So we kick things off with the live event on February 1st, and then we'll have weekly themes. And so, for instance, week 1, February 1st to the 6th, will be superhero week. So there'll be different ways you can dress up as your favorite superhero, or there'll be superhero challenges. Then we'll go into a scavenger hunt week where our organizers will work on different ways that you can, you know, search things out in the digital world to, you know, achieve goals and be recognized for that. Then we'll give a shout out to our sponsors throughout February 14th through the 20th. And then the last week, we were doing something called Super Plunge Week. And our Super Plungers, that's a different level bunch. You know, that's your the varsity of the super plungers, if you will. And I will say I was part of the inaugural group back in 2011 when the idea was first launched in Oregon. We were at a meeting. The concept came up that, hey, we think we can get some people to jump in the river once an hour for 24 straight hours.
So it's all your
fault. Money. Well, no, it's not my fault. Where it's my own fault getting in the water was, I said, if you can get 10 people to do this, I'll be your 11th. And it was sort of just, I'll throw it out there. I'll see it when I believe it. Well, as soon as the 10th person signed up, guessing number 11 had to be. And so I did it. I've been a super plunger, but I've done it once and it is phenomenal. We have people that since 2011 have done it every year since, and they've, you know, recruited others along the way. That is a group of individuals that is so inspirational in the amount of awareness and money they've raised for our organization over the years. And so during that last week is when our super plungers will, you know, leap into action and start promoting and doing some of the things in this creative new, you know, at-home format, if you will, virtual format. But there's going to be some that will still do the once an hour for 24 hours in their own way. Others are going to do it over a stretch of longer time. But typically the super plunge would take place down at Broughton Beach overnight in person.
So if you're not going to be jumping in and out of the Columbia River, how are you going to get wet and cold for this, for the polar plunge this year?
So there's lots of different ways. It does allow for more flexibility and, you know, you don't have to commit as much time necessarily if you are doing an in-person plunge. You know, you got to schedule a logistics of getting there and, you know, all that is fun, the in-person stuff. But some of the benefit trades, if you will, for the at-home is that you can talk a family member into pouring a bucket of water over your head. You can run through the sprinklers. You can have somebody spray a garden hose at you. You can find a kiddie pool or slip and slide. If you were like me, and last week when those rainstorms hit, my backyard could have been its own plunge site. you could have, you know, sat down in several inches of standing water in my backyard. You know, if you're lucky enough to have snow where you are, snowball fights, you know, you can squirt guns, super soakers. You know, people have said, I'm going to chug a Slurpee and get a brain freeze. You know, there's all sorts of different ideas. Other people have said they're going to freeze clothes like a t-shirt or socks and put those on.
Oh, man.
And, you know, for a certain amount of time. So there's different ways. You know, it really, again, is, you know, being safe. And those are the ways we're promoting it. You know, we are talking a lot about precautions. When we do the in-person plunges, while we have a lot of people that are jumping in the river or other bodies of water in Oregon in a normal year, at all times we're working with our local law enforcement. It's a huge supporter of Polar Plunge over the years. It's really launched out of what we call Law Enforcement Torch Run, which is a partnership that we have with the law enforcement community throughout the state. And they would always provide certified professional dive teams. You know, so they're sweeping the river ahead of time, make sure there isn't any dangerous debris as people are running in. And then they're there and ready at all times to protect people, because now we won't be able to offer those services, that structure. We do not want people to go freestyling in rivers and lakes and being unsafe. And so if you end up plunging in a pool, make sure you have a lifeguard. Follow all recommendations for your local, state, county health officials when it comes to anything you're using as far as public access to waterways. So we're really encouraging safe and at home. And again, any plunges that don't follow our published guidelines that are on the website. So if you go to plungeoregon.org, you can learn more. But if they don't follow those guidelines, we can't endorse it and we won't promote it through our official social media channels.
Mark, we have about a minute. Let us know how we can get signed up and participate in the Polar Plunge this year.
All right. It is easiest if you go to plungeoregon.org, invite friends and family, set up your own teams and fundraising, reach out to your friends. There's different ways that you can promote the event and tips and tricks that you can learn through the website itself. And then you can post your plunge photos and videos on social media tag us at Soar States, so at S-O-O-R States and at Plunge Oregon. Use the hashtags hashtag Plunge Oregon or hashtag Plunge at Home. And we just greatly appreciate it. Our athletes are really hoping for a return to in-person play as soon as it's safe to do so. But in the meantime, the money we raise will be to deliver virtual programming and also to invest in that future. So we need this event to be as strong as ever and be creative. Thank you for your support.
Well, again, excellent way to pivot and make it work in this current environment. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the support from you, and thanks for getting the message out for us. Plunge safely, everybody, but plunge for Special Olympics Oregon. We appreciate it.
That was Mark Hankin, COO of Special Olympics Oregon. If you'd like to hear this interview again, a podcast is available online. Just search Let's Talk Portland on the radio.com app. Let's Talk Portland is an Entercom public affairs program.